I greet you all this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus, and it's a great privilege also to greet you on this, the first day of a new year. May God grant his blessing upon each one as the year unfolds. As we come in time of worship of our God, we also bring before him the various affairs of the congregation, various matters before us. And I just want to remind you of a number of items, but also to extend a very, very warm welcome to all visiting with us for the first time. And trust that God will bless you in a special way as you grant your blessing to us by your presence. There are a number of notices listed in the service sheet, and I encourage you to make use of those, especially the first item regarding the use of the center here. If you have any rubbish at all, there is a bag in the kitchen because this place is closed tomorrow as well. We don't want to leave rubbish lying around until they open again. It does mention that there is no Sunday school, but in fact the middle group will be able to meet this morning. That's with Mr. Happenden, and I encourage the children of his group to join at the front afterwards. That means that all the adults will go outside and take our coffee out there. And then for the little ones, there is also a story being provided through in their usual Sunday school room. So just that just corrects that item there. Reminder that this evening we do meet here rather than the school, but next week we do go back to the school, maybe just for the time being. Anna Marie is not here, but some of her friends are here, and her birthday comes up this week on Friday, so you might like to remember that, the young Anna Marie, and do remember her on her birthday. And I think otherwise everything is included in the print. And do make sure that you make use of that, as well as a very warm thank you from ourselves for the gifts that you gave us last week. Very much appreciated, but not just the gifts, it was what they indicated from your heart to ours. So thank you very much for that indeed. As we do worship God, we remember that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Let us sing to his praise, turning to Psalm 145. It's one of the traditional versions on page 444. Psalm 145, page 444. That's the second version that we have there. It's the verses marked 1 through to 7, but if anyone is following the tunes, we'll not be taking that one listed. It'll be Duke Street instead. O Lord, thou art my God and King. Thee will I magnify and praise. I will thee bless and gladly sing unto thy holy name always. And on this first day of a new year, let us hear what this psalmist writes. Each day I rise, I will thee bless. May that be the note of our year that begins today. Psalm 145, verses 1 to 7 on page 444. We stand to sing and remain standing afterwards for prayer.
O Lord, thou art my God, and in thee will I
I
together. O Eternal One, O Lord of the years, O Ancient of days, as our days come and pass, as our years pass by and we pass with them, we come to you, for you are eternal, in your being, in your word, in your purpose. And in our passing days, O Lord, as the great and mighty one, stir us, we pray, unto your continual praise, that as we rise today, as we rise tomorrow, even as with this new day and this new year, that we would see your grace and your goodness, that we would see all days unfolding in grace and goodness, and that we will turn our praise unto you. And O Lord, while we do give thanks, and while we give thanks, knowing that your mercies are indeed new every morning, that it would be knowing that you have given us these days, that we might continue, that we might be renewed each day in your service, that the glory should only be unto you. But, O Lord, that each one here will also be enabled to testify that to be with you would be far better with the great apostle, that this would be the longing of our hearts, but also that we would long that and pray that your will may be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that you would cause us even to labor in the answer to that prayer. And we pray, therefore, that you would be with us in our time of worship now, that in all elements you would preserve us and hallow your name, that in all things we would approach you in holiness, in righteousness, clothed with the righteousness of Christ himself. And so we ask that you would grant forgiveness, for we have sinned before you, and that as the new year and new day unfolds, that you would keep us from all that is evil. Do grant forgiveness, we pray, that we might have acceptance before you in all that we offer, in our thanksgiving, in our requests, and so much in our praise, that it would be worthy of your holy name. Be with us then, we pray, and that we would be nourished in all that we do unto your service. And this we ask for the glory of Christ, and in his name alone. Amen. Amen. We turn again this morning to be reminded of the law of God, how our Lord speaks to us and summons us. And in the answer that Jesus gave to the question, which is the great commandment in the law, he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." When we hear that, we must know that we have fallen short. But yet the Lord also speaks to us. And he says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In response to our reading of God's law, may we sing again to the praise of God in Psalm 119. We will take section 8, it's on page 404. Psalm 119, section 8, that's verses 57 through to 64, starting on page 404. Thou, my sure portion, art alone, which I did choose, O Lord. I have resolved and said that I would keep thy holy word. With my whole heart I did entreat thy face and favor free, according to thy gracious word, be merciful to me. And in response, as we have read God's law, I thought upon my former ways, and did my life well try. And to thy testimonies pure my feet then turned I. New year is surely a time for thinking upon our former ways, as well as thinking of where we are to go from here. Psalm 119, verses 57 to 64. Again, let us stand to sing.
Thou, my shepherd, shall not alone.
Is it up on the wall? Where is it?
It's on your hand. It's on your wrist. Exactly. What do you want to give you add to that? You just put it on your arm. Yes. Okay.
Is it a bracelet?
It's like a bracelet. It doesn't have a watch on it, so it's more like a bracelet. It's something that goes around your wrist. Anyone else feeling that? Put it on your hand. Yeah, you go around your hand as well. Well, this one actually has some letters on it as well. Now, that you won't be able to see that from where you are, but it's going to be a bit complicated to bring you all to the front. But the letters are WWJD. Has anyone seen those before? No, you guys have. Anyone else? No? You haven't seen that? John, what is that? Right, so I'll be your loudspeaker. What would Jesus do? Now, perhaps some of the grown-ups have seen these things, even if the children haven't, because they haven't been around quite so much later. Once upon a time, a lot of people used to wear these things. What would Jesus do? It just misses the question mark at the end. Now, that's not just a piece of jewelry. It's not just a bracelet that you put around your wrist. It means something. There are words in that. And there was a problem because people just wore this and they just wore it. They didn't really think about what they were doing. A bit like some of the straps that you have these days for the charities and things. But those words really mean something. And sometimes it's good to have something like that that you're wearing. Because there is a question mark at the end of those words. What would Jesus do? And that's to say, when you go into, I'm calling it a situation, that's the sort of things that happen around you and that you get involved with and so on. If you go into a situation, you might need to ask yourself, how do I deal with this? What's the right thing to do now? And that's quite a good question to ask. What would Jesus do? In fact, I think probably the better question would be, what would Jesus want? What would he want you to do? And even if you don't have one of these, can I just say to you, today is the first day of a new year. And you have that question in your pocket, but put it most in your mind. Even if you don't have it on a strap like that to put around your wrist, maybe you need a piece of paper to begin with, to put in your pocket and have it there with you. So that when something happens and you feel it, it reminds you of this big question. What would Jesus want me to do? Because then that's the good thing to do. That's the way to do it. So I'm just giving you that question that you ask yourself. But where do you find the answer? If you ask that question, what would Jesus do? Anyone know where you would find the answer to that? It is in the Bible. Do you know where to find all the answers in the Bible? Not always, huh? So how do you deal with that? It's a big book. You just need to take time reading it. Read it, and read it, and read it. So you start to know where to find the answers. And you know, children, as always, I'm not just saying this for you, am I? I want everyone to hear what I'm saying. We all need that, friends. What would Jesus want me to do? Where do you find the answer? Do you know the Bible? Do you know the answers in the Bible? Start doing something about it if you don't. Let's just remember that. Because we will find a way if we look for it. Let's turn to the Bible ourselves. We'll turn first of all to the Old Testament in the second book of Chronicles. And here we read about one of the great kings of Israel who did some things. And I want you to ask yourself as we read it, how did he know what he needed to do? You'll find the same answer that we've just talked about. Turn first to the second book of Chronicles, chapter 31. And we'll read the first 10 verses and then just the last two as well. Not that the rest is unimportant. but we catch the sense of the issue by reading these other verses. 2 Chronicles 31 at verse 1. Now when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke the sacred pillars in pieces, cut down the wooden images, and threw down the high places and the altars from all Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned to their own cities, every man to his possession. And Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and the Levites according to their divisions, each man according to his service, the priests and Levites for burnt offerings and peace offerings, to serve, to give thanks, and to praise in the gates of the camp of the Lord. The king also appointed a portion of his possessions for the burnt offerings, for the morning and evening burnt offerings, the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths and the new moons and the set feasts, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Moreover, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priests and the Levites, that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of grains and wine, oil and honey, and of all the produce of the field, and they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. And the children of Israel and Judah, who dwelt in the cities of Judah, brought the tithe of oxen and sheep, also the tithe of holy things which were consecrated to the Lord their God, they laid in heaps. In the third month they began laying them in heaps, and they finished in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the leaders came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest from the house of Zadok, answered him and said, "Since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty left. For the Lord has blessed his people, and what is left is this great abundance." And then just to wrap this up with the last two verses of the chapter, verses 20 and 21. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart. So he prospered. Then turn over to the book of Romans, and starting our reading towards the end of chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 at verse 33. Romans 11 at verse 33 through into chapter 12. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. For ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. And just so far, our readings in God's Word. May His name be praised. May it also be a blessing on each one of us. Let us again turn to the Lord in prayer, seeking His blessing, particularly upon His Word today. Let us pray together. O Lord, You know our hearts. And for so many of us today, inevitably, You know that we'll be looking back over the past year. We'll be looking ahead to the unknown with hopes and with fears. And with all this, O Lord, we ask that You would work in our hearts, that our great treasure would be Your Word, knowing that it is in Your Word that we find You and Your will. That Your Word would be our guide through the unknown. That Your Word would be our assurance of You and Your unchanging and great faithfulness to all generations. That we would therefore approach You as this year unfolds and as the days open up. That we would come before You as servants, those servants who have their eyes even on the fingers of the Master, that even the slightest indication of Your will find us ready to go and to serve. And so we commend unto You on this new year Christ's glorious church through all the nations of this world, a church which is filled with the failures of men, but which in themselves illuminate the perfections of our head, Christ Jesus. That this, Your great church, would truly hold Your Word as our treasure, the voice of our beloved. That Your Word would equip and encourage and nurture and lead us in a way that is true. Because our hearts are responsive by the working of Your Spirit. We would commend unto You not only ourselves in this place, and as we meet week by week, we commend unto You this region and into this great city of London with such opportunity as so many come from places where the Word is bound and yet we have such freedom. We would especially remember our brethren in the London City congregation today and ask that You would stir them also in their hearts. We pray for our denomination, giving thanks for the support that is provided by many others. We pray for them as the majority working in the nation of Scotland. We ask that their desires for that land would be brought to fruit as they long for a nation turning unto God. We pray for the various missions that are enabled and supported by the denomination. We give thanks for those who have gone into many different places with a huge variety of demands upon them. We pray especially just now as we're made aware of the Donachies and the Fords who'll be back home from South America for a short time. We pray Your blessing and refreshment upon them. And indeed we ask for every effort that is made in various mission fields operated by numerous different bodies, but every effort that is made to extend Your kingdom and the knowledge of Your will, that there would be a particular emphasis placed upon the ministry of the Word into so many different lives, and that together with Your worldwide church, our passion and our overriding interest would be for the proclamation of the gospel of Christ, for his glory, that we would lift up his name. And we pray that you would enable us in our own congregation, with our own contacts and our own environments, we pray that you would enable us and grant us wisdom and energy also to undertake the work that you've committed to us. We pray for every member of the congregation and the part that is to be played by each one, according to faith, according to the gifts that you have given. Pray for those in leadership, the elders. We ask that you would strengthen them and grant them the wisdom that is needed. We pray for those leading the Sunday school. We ask that you would encourage them by the seeing a growing knowledge in the children. We pray for the children that they will indeed grow in the knowledge of God and in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for each one involved in the leading of the praise. We give thanks, O God, that you have equipped us to do this, and that this would be a great enthusiasm of ours to lift up your name in praise and honor day by day. And we ask too that you would enable each one, as whether it is in serving at the tea and coffee bar each week, and with the welcome that is provided, those at the door, each one involved in setting up and putting things back together again at the end of the services. Thank you, O Lord, that you've given those who can serve in these ways. We pray that therefore, as we work together, we will be able to bring honor unto you in this place and through our lives wherever you have set us. We ask, Lord, that you would accept us now and all our petitions, that each one would lead unto the great glory of Christ. For in his name alone we pray, asking again that you would grant forgiveness and that you would keep us with our hearts set upon him today, and all for his sake. Amen. Let us further sing to the praise of God in Psalm 139, page 180. Psalm 139, it's version A, and we sing the verses marked 1 through to 10, that is the first five stanzas here. Psalm 139, O Lord, you have examined me, you know me through and through, my sitting, rising, all my thoughts are far unknown to you. And so on, that we might ourselves be very much aware of the Lord's sight of us, and that this would determine our way. Down to verse 10, there also you would be my guide. He would be your guide. Let us take hold of his hand and be led by him. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 10, page 180, again standing to sing.
Oh Lord, you have examined me, you know me through and through. My sitting, rising, all my thoughts are far unknown to you. My growing up and lying down are plain before your view. Before I speak a word, O Lord, it is well known to you. You and me to
please be seated. Even before this past week, I had intended to take as my text this morning Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And then in yesterday's Times, immediately under their own banner comes the headline, Change Your Life, Health and Fitness Special. That's what happens at New Year, isn't it? Time for looking back, thinking through what might be improved, looking ahead, seeing a year in front that's rather like an untouched sheet. At least I haven't been there and spoiled any of it. But then every other year before, it's been the same. The best of intentions to do something about health and fitness, whatever it might happen to be. You've made resolutions, perhaps, or at least you know someone who has. And by yesterday, they're a long distant memory. So perhaps you've come to the point of saying, at least not necessarily explicitly, perhaps you have. You say, I don't do resolutions anymore. I can't keep them up anyway. But I'm setting out this morning. I want to remind you of the significance of New Year. To realize that it's not just about you. It's about something far more substantial. I did speak about it last week. But from today onwards, you'll be writing the date 2006 on your checks or wherever it might be. And to remind you that that date, as you write it, reflects the coming amongst men of the man Jesus. It has no real reason beyond that. Today is the year 2006 of our Lord. The coming of Jesus, God's appointed Savior and Lord, King, the Christ. And when he came, the years had long been ticking over. Not everyone had very much. In fact, most people had very little concept of why or even how these years ticked over. Some knew, Israel ought to have known, that it was in God's covenant to Noah even, that the years and the seasons would come and they would go. It was God's control. Some knew that the passing of the years was about God working out his purpose. But all of that, as it were, solidified, came together when Jesus came. And if not before, then all doubt as to the purpose of the years was removed, should be in our mind as well. But the purpose was made clear by God. God sent his Son. And surely all the rest of his purpose will come about. It's because Jesus came that New Year 1 or New Year 2006 do now mean clearly that something is happening. That it is the bringing of God's kingdom, his will, into this world. And that's why I put my title as New Year Was Transformed Once. It was his coming. that did that transformation. Transformation being change. The time says, change your life. Transform your life. And as Romans 12, verse 2 puts it, be transformed. You year was transformed once. And I present it in this way, that Christ introduced that transformation. Christ impels ongoing transformation. Christ enables that transformation. And Christ is the purpose of that transformation. Christ introduced transformation. Christ impels it. Christ enables it. And Christ is the purpose of it. Christ introduced transformation. In this verse, Paul gives an instruction to the church. Be transformed. That's telling you and me what to do. It's an instruction. But he has first given a reason for it. He's given the foundation for all that is to follow, for the instruction and all that goes with it. And that reason is to be found in verse 1, where he beseeches us by the mercies of God. It's the reason, it's the foundation for all that he has to say. And when he says that, by the mercies of God, he is thinking about all that he has said up to this point. In many ways encapsulated in those last verses of chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. Sing to yourselves, I would suggest, Psalm 145, each day I rise, I will be blessed. Read to yourself and come to know for yourself these words of Romans 11, 33, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Paul is glorying in God. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. He's thinking of all that has gone before, that he has presented to the Romans and to the church ever since. He's dealt with man's rebellion and sin in chapter 1. He's dealt with God's patience in response to that and God's just judgment in chapter 2. In chapter 3 and following, he deals with issues regarding sin and Christ's deliverance from that sin. For example, in chapter 7, where he deals with the continuing struggle against sin, and in chapter 8, the confidence that we can have in Christ. And then in chapters 9 to 11, he deals with Israel's redemption. We sometimes might think it's concerned primarily with Israel, but it's concerned with redemption. Still the major issue. Paul is highly focused in those 11 chapters. What is more certain, even, than death and taxes? It is that man is a sinner. We must deal with the Holy God. But also, beyond question, also certain, is that this Holy God has dealt with sin himself. That's what Romans is concerned about, chapters 1 through to 11. God has dealt with sin himself. He sent his Son to deal with it for all who believe. And that is the basis, by the mercies of God. How many words? 5. And such riches built in there. That's what he's calling to your mind and mine. And the basis of what he goes on now to say. He's told us that God's grace has intruded amongst men. His mercy in the face of sin and sins. And that is what changes, what transforms everything. By Christ. God's mercy to the rebellious and the self-important sinner. By the mercies of God, transformation was begun. Transformation was introduced in the person of Christ Jesus. Yes, we know God was gracious in so many ways before Christ came, but it's in Christ that it is all brought together. And that's so important, because when you are told to be transformed, it isn't a thing that you can do yourself, that you can begin yourself. In your life, just as much as in history, transformation needs to be introduced by Christ. But also that Christ impels transformation. Transformation is not driven by you any more than it is started by you. This is also by virtue of the mercies of God. It's by the mercies of God that you must be transformed. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, "It is by the love of Christ that constrains us." This is about motivation, it's about constraint, it's about the driving force behind this, or the drawing or the pulling power to bring you on. It's about Jesus saying, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." It's about, if he has done all this for you, ought it not to draw something from you? Those unsearchable riches that he gives to you. This morning, I am taking advantage of the possibility that, given today's date, you might just be taking a chance to think about things in a somewhat different way from every other day. To think about life. And what Paul is saying to you and to me today is, think about the mercies of God. Think about him, about his love, and be stirred by it, be moved by it, be prepared to go where he wants you to go. You see, Paul starts chapter 12, "I beseech you." You know what that means? It's Paul saying, "Please, please," getting down on his knees even and saying, "Please respond. I beseech you." My heart is reaching out as far as it can to get hold of you and to bring you to do this. "I beseech you," Paul says. And he tells us in another place that he does it representing the beseeching of Christ himself. "Did you know that the Lord of the whole universe, the Ancient of Days, who has no beginning and no end, is prepared to go down on his knees and plead with you to come to him and to be transformed?" Paul beseeches that you do something when you've given some thinking to it. With these reasons, with these grounds, how can you not listen to the call of Christ on your life? And he doesn't just call you to church on Sunday, not even just twice. He calls on your life. What is the great commandment of the Lord? Is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. We don't do it in English, but in some languages you realize that the only possible word for that is a word that means in completion. Not just a whole series of different parts of life, but it is one that must come as one. You cannot divide it. It's about changing your life. The world likes to think like that. Change your life. How? Fitness. And there are some people who will say, fitness, if I'm fit, it does make a difference to my work, it makes a difference to all sorts of things. life can't be divided up. Fitness isn't just for the gym. It's for better life and work. This transformation is not just for church. It's for better life and work. Think on Christ. And you think upon him, and he will push you. He will impel transformation. He will drive in that direction. If you truly think upon who he is, what he does. And he will press you on. This is a word that Paul uses from time to time. To press on to transformation. But it isn't just a pushing as we might do, pushing someone out into the unknown on their own. Christ also enables transformation. He begins it. He drives it on. But he also enables. He goes with you. Other texts would present that too. That yoke that he bears with his people, with his believers, those who come to him. He's sharing the burden. Christ enables it. Those urgings, those exhortations, do they bother you? They will bother many. Do they bother you because they're unreachable? Maybe not. But I know someone who says, when he's asked to do something, he says, I need someone to help me. My answer is, I can't help you if you're not involved. Christ is willing to help. He is willing to enable. But helping means that you're involved too. That you are prepared to get involved. That you are recognizing your responsibility to be transformed. And how does he say transforming comes about? He says it's by renewing your mind. Thinking again. Thinking about your life. And making the directions of your thinking something new. Renewing your mind. What is it that determines your responses to all those things around you, the situations you find yourself in each day? And it's not just even your reflex responses, it's especially your reflex responses that show where you are. In verse 2, Paul says, do not be conformed. You. Don't be conformed. You, your life, what you do, what you are, who you are, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be changed from the way of the world by renewing your mind. The direction of that renewal we'll deal with in just a moment. But this is about having a new mind, a new way of thinking, especially those deep things inside. Perhaps many of you have done it. You've taken a class in something, you've learned the stuff, and you pass an exam. I did that at university, and in my last year, one of the lecturers said they had done a survey of previous students 5 years out of university, and they found that not one of them remembered a thing that they had learned. How often do we do that? We pass an exam for the sake of it to get the result and we move on. But if you get interested in something, doesn't that make a difference? You get in there, you get involved, it goes deeper and deeper into your understanding. It changes the way you think. Because you're using it. It penetrates. Your mind is changed. You do it with science. You do it with money. You do it with computers. You do it with your subject teaching. Do you do it with Christ? Do I do it with Christ? You take a class, you learn the stuff, you pass an exam, and you forget it. You take a class, a half-hour sermon on a Sunday, once a week. Renew your mind. Is that going to renew your mind on its own? You need to think often on it. You need to be interested in it. You need to have a passion for it. To think deeply on the things that are Christ's, the things in heaven, not on earth. You need to spend time here. Lots of time. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus want from you? And I think he has a right to ask, a right to expect it, because of what he has done for you. But he enables it by, if you open yourself, if you commit yourself, he will enable that renewal of mind. He will give his word to you. He will let his word rule in you. What a treasure that must be. But Christ is also the purpose of transformation. The why. Why should you be transformed? What is the purpose of it? Where does it take you? And he tells us that too. Be renewed in your mind so that you are transformed, in order that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that, in order that, the whole point of it is so that you can do this. And he uses this intriguing word, prove. This is about putting it to the test by using it. And you will find as you use it, that you will approve it, is another sense of the word. How many of you gentlemen at some point in your life have seen a new vegetable on your plate at dinner and you've said, I don't like that, before you've even tasted it? Psalm 34, the writer says, taste and see that God is good. How many people out there, perhaps some of you in here today too, have said, well, I'm not really into that. But have you tasted God and seen that he is good? Have you tried it? Have you put it to the test? This will of God, are you prepared to prove it? That's what Paul means. To prove what? The will of God. And to prove what about it? To discover that it is good, that it is acceptable, it is perfect. How many of us have tried it to that degree and found that God's will is truly perfect? The will of God, in the Word of God, the answer to the question, what would Jesus want? Ask the Bible. Where in the Bible? Everywhere in the Bible. And the answer for all things. Are you often in the gym to be fit for life? Are you often in the Bible to be fit for life? It doesn't have a purpose just on its own. It is for life and transformation of life. Testing it, using it to demonstrate its perfection, to demonstrate the glory of Christ. Why change? Why be transformed? Why renew your mind? Why exercise your mind in the Bible? Because of the mercies of God in Christ. Do you love the Lord? Then for his sake, change. Be transformed. What has the world ever done for you in comparison? Don't be conformed. Don't go along in the way of the world. Change from that. Go along in the way of God. What has the world done for you? What has God done for you? It's a black and white question. One of the few that there are, perhaps. But that's most certainly is.
gain the whole world and you will lose your soul. Would you expect yourself to be ever so foolish? As to stay with the world and not with God? I can only provoke your thinking on this morning, but your thinking needs to be transformed, needs to be renewed. We always do. It's an ongoing thing. The tense of these words is continuous. It's not complete yet. It's begun. But we need that compulsion of Christ. We need the enabling of Christ. We need to see the purpose that is Christ. I just want to bring this to a close. There are many for whom the new year, strangely enough, can be depressing too. Because they do look back, and those resolutions have fallen by the wayside. Those changes they wanted to make. And I'm not going to encourage you to a false joy and fireworks. I want to resuscitate your enthusiasm in another way. This way. To plead with you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind after the will of God, that is your great pursuit in life. You might say, well, what about all these other things I have to give attention to? In the end, friends, what about them? You answer that. Change your life. Renew your mind. You have to put in time. I will do what I can to help. But you have to put in time. Surely you want to put in time for the sake of the Christ and the mercies of God? Has He died for you? That is the first question. And if you can't be sure of that, come again to the Word yourself. Let Him begin that work of transformation in you. It's a good thing. It's acceptable. It's perfect. And out of all this, of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. May God bless His word this morning. Let us pray together. O Lord our God, with so many voices around us that clamor for our immediate attention, help us, O God, to still our souls. And to hear your voice of might and of grace and of love. And to know that you long for us to be blessed. You long for the very best for us. Forgive us, O Lord, that we have so often chosen something else. Because the word world has seemed so attractive to us. And we have conformed there. Help us, O Lord, to transform. You have made this clear that you are willing to do it, that this is your very plan and purpose, but that it would be our desire also to know the weakness and the passing of the world. We should be reminded of that so much more clearly on this day. How good it is, O God, that we might begin a new year in your presence. And we do pray that each one of us might know that you have drawn near and you have spoken with us. Lead us on then, we pray, through the rest of the day, that on this your day, above all things, we will rejoice in you, bring honor to your name, and be glad in the strength of the Lord. We ask that you would hear and accept us, again seeking forgiveness and cleansing, all through our Lord Jesus. Amen.
and for his sake. Amen.
May we close in praise to God in Psalm 148, page 194. Page 194, it's Psalm 148, singing the whole psalm. oh praise the Lord. Praise him from heaven's height. All angels give him praise. Praise him, you hosts of light. But it's not just the angels. There's all things that he has made. Indeed, all men, women, children also. Let us praise God ourselves this morning as we draw our service to a close. Psalm 148, page 194. Let's stand to sing, and we remain standing for the benediction.
Oh, praise the Lord, praise him from heaven's height. All angels give him praise, praising you, hosts of light. Praise him, sun, moon, and stars on high, you high and high.
Jesus Christ himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.